Calvin Dodal, and the subject is the Day of the Lord. And he's asked that we read two scripture readings, the second Psalm and 149th Psalm. So the first reading is second Psalm. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And then we shall turn to Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. We ask your attention now to Brother Calvin Dodal. There can be no question that we live in the latter days. We are rapidly approaching the great day of God Almighty, perhaps faster than even we suspect. We are eyewitnesses to prophetic events that herald the return of Christ to the earth. We would like to set forth the biblical record of the latter-day events by reading from Luke 21, beginning at verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is only one of many prophecies concerning the last days, the days in which you and I live. Can we recall any time in history when the whole world was in such a turmoil? The signs upon the natural earth, such as the tidal waves, the earthquakes, the starvation, the disease, the low morality, and the modern Tower of Babel, literally reaching toward heaven, are all signs of the time, signs that point to the very closeness of the day of the Lord. The political heavens, too, show forth signs that are bursting with fulfillment to the writings of the prophets. We have seen the powers of the world group into two major divisions. We have seen Israel become the focal point on this globe. The powers of the ecclesiastical heavens have increased in measure, while more active participation in world affairs has become apparent. Modification of dogma with the intent of drawing the daughters back to the mother has also been seen. These are all signs that the day of judgment is indeed close at hand. The subject of the day of the Lord is a very complex one. It is hardly possible to gather all the facets together at one time because this subject is so comprehensive. All of us have heard many ideas expressed regarding the day of the Lord, both from the stand and through the pages of the magazines of the truth. There have been many comparisons expressed as proof of the day of the Lord. We too have a theory, or an idea, if you will, that we would like to present for your consideration. There are many time periods given in the scriptures which have been used over and over again. The Almighty certainly put them there for a purpose. For as the scriptures themselves testify, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. As we search these time periods, we do not expect to be able to say that the day of the Lord will come on a specific date. For we firmly believe that no man knows the day or the hour. What we do believe is that given enough evidence that the day is extremely near, that we will order our lives to conform to that of the Son of God, that we may be accounted worthy at the time when the quick and the dead are judged. The time periods that we have seen and heard expressed are the Jubilee, 1260 days, 42 months, a time, times and a half, 1290 days, 1335 days, 2300 days, and seven times. The 20th century believer is not the first to use these dates to come up with an approximate year for the time of the end. We know through our study of Eureka that Brother Thomas used some of these periods of time in establishing what he considered to be the day of the Lord. In the year 1897, the first Zionist Congress convened. Theodore Herzl stated at this time, and I quote, "What I have done today is to establish a Jewish state. If I spoke these words aloud, I shall be laughed to scorn. But I am certain that in 50 years from now, everybody will see I am right." End of quote. The next event of great significance to the Jew was the year 1917. On November the 2nd, the Balfour Declaration was signed, which enabled the Jews to take over the land occupied by the Turks. This was a year of liberation from the Turks. 5 years later, in 1922, the Lion of Britain was given the mandate over the land of Palestine.
25 years later, which was 50 years or one jubilee from the first Zionist Congress, the United Nations voted unanimously for the partition of the land of Palestine between Jews and Arabs. This occurred on November 2, 1947. Following very closely to this event was the establishment of the new state of Israel. Leviticus 25, verse 10, defines the Jubilee year. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. 1947-1948 proved to be very favorable to the Jews, as their land was partitioned. Following the forming of the new state, Israel set up their own laws and customs, their own finances and military defenses. 1947 was exactly 50 years from 1897 when Theodore Herzl made his prophecy. Now for our comparison, we proceed from 1947 to see what can be developed. 20 years from 1947 brings us to 1967. On June the 5th, Israel attacked Egypt, Syria, and Jordan simultaneously, and in 6 days had devastated and paralyzed the enemy. Israel expanded its borders to include the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the entire city of Jerusalem, all land to the Jordan River, northward to the border of Lebanon, and a portion of Syria. We can then say that 1967 was a year of liberation from Arab rule. Comparing this 20-year period with that of the first 20-year period, we find both show a liberation from rule of the oppressors. Now, an additional 5 years brings us to 1972. Is 1972 a terminal date in prophecy? Will 1972 indeed bring Jesus the Christ back to this earth? We firmly believe that 1972 figures in the prophetic picture. When Christ does come, a mandate will again be set up, but this time it will be by the Lion of Judah. 25 years beyond 1972, which will be 50 years or one jubilee from 1947, when Israel had established their own government, brings us to 1997. In this year, we believe there will be once again a partitioning of the land, a dividing of the land to give each tribe of Israel their portion from the east side to the west side, as depicted in Ezekiel 48. In connection with this division of the land will be the kingdom of God, ready to begin its reign of peace in the earth. Should the date be correct, between 1972 and 1997, a tremendous amount of events will have to take place. The judgment seat of Christ, perhaps another war between the Jews and the Arabs, the intervention of Russia as King of the North, the Day of Armageddon when all nations will fight at Jerusalem, the burial of the casualties in Israel, the overthrow of the nations who refuse to accept the righteous rule of the new King of the Earth, the war and the overthrow of the great apostasy, and finally, the building, completion, and dedication of the temple, the house of prayer for all people. turn to Ezekiel 40, and verse 1, we read these words. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. By reading further, we learn that Ezekiel saw the temple in vision as actually existing at that time, and he also saw the sacrifices of the burnt offering. This 25th year of the captivity was, interestingly enough, a year of Jubilee. We believe that in the 25th year of Israel's liberation from all her enemies, we'll see the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy, when the new temple will be literally seen and functioning as a house of prayer for all nations. 1997, we understand, is also a Jubilee year. Are these comparisons just coincidences? Or is there some basis of fact which should stimulate us to further study? During these latter days, there is a 30-year period of time to be fulfilled before the kingdom can be set up. We refer to the 10 kings who received power 1 hour with the beast, as spoken by the Apostle John in chapter 17 of the Revelation. The fulfillment of this prophecy may well be found in the European common market, which began in 1957 with the signing of the Treaty of Rome. Somewhere in the 30-year existence, they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful, which shows that the judgment has passed, and the faithful fulfilling these words of Psalms 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. There is yet another comparison that we would like to make, this time between the Genesis and the Revelation. Between these two, what we would like to present may also show us the closeness of our Master's return. In Genesis, there is recorded the creation of Adam on the sixth day. Sometime following this, he sinned and was driven from the Garden of Eden into the wilderness, as it were. Now, we do not know how accurate chronology can be this far back in history, but some historians tell us that 1,656 years later, God sent the flood upon the earth because of man's great wickedness. The scriptures record in both the Old and New Testament how great the evil was, even to the point that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God rained his destructive powers on the earth, resulting in the obliteration of man, beast, and fowl, except for a chosen few. These chosen ones were shielded from harm by the Ark of Safety. Revelation in the sixth seal, the man Constantine comes on the historical scene around 312 AD. Those who have made a study of Eureka will remember that Brother Thomas always established a 4-year span of time for the beginning and ending of the commencing of a time period, as well as a 4-hour spread for the completion of that time period. And using his idea, the time allotted for the beginning of this man of sin, Constantine, was then from 312 to 315 AD. Also in this same period of 4 years is the flight of the woman into the wilderness. The last year in this 4-year period is the only one now suitable to our comparison. Thus, if we take 315 and add 1656, we arrive at 1971 as the year for God's judgment to be poured out on the earth. It is no stretch of the imagination to say that our day compares very favorably to that of Noah's day. On this point, the scriptures tell us, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. A more fitting description would be difficult to find regarding the days in which we live. Our ark of safety will be the Lord Jesus Christ in that day, as the chosen few who have made a covenant by baptism. Till that night, the year 1997 would provide the proper endpoint of this time period. But after a fruitless search through many encyclopedias, we cannot yet establish a noteworthy starting point. All of these prophetic figures present a challenge to the watchman. As we heard 2 nights ago, we cannot say, and we are not saying, that 1971 or 1972 will definitely bring the Messiah to the earth. But we believe it is entirely possible. There are no prophets among the believers today. We can only show interesting parallels as we see them, with the sole purpose of stimulating each other to further study of God's Word, that we might be found watching and waiting. If the time measurements were as clear and obvious as some students desire, there would be no more trial of faith. As it is, we cannot feel sure as to the details of time, but those who study the subject may feel quite confident as to the main fact. God rules in the kingdom of men, and at the end of the days determined, he will establish the promised kingdom. Daniel will stand in his lot, and all other faithful disciples will have their appropriate part in the blessings promised to Abraham and his seed. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you.